Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2, presented by Smokeville Smoke Shop. Corey, what's going on? How are we doing?
Oh, just hanging in there on another Monday, guys. How are you?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Corey, we discussed the Treylon Burks situation a little bit earlier in the show. There's going to be so much pressure on this kid. Obviously, coming in as a first-round pick, there's pressure anyway. But when you're basically viewed as the replacement for A.J. Brown, I think there's more that gets added to that. And obviously, he left minicamp early on Friday as well. What do you make of his situation as a whole, just coming in here with the pressure that he's going to face to be productive immediately with this team?
Well, there's no basically about it. I mean, that's what he's here to do. I mean, because he's a big, strong kid. They traded, you know, way up to get him and make that move. And so, yeah, I mean, whether it's fair or not, life isn't fair. If you don't want it, then go do something else. Go serve ice cream. I did that for a long time. It was great. But not near as much pressure as this. He is certainly under a lot of pressure. Do I think that had anything to do with what happened Friday? Probably not. I think my biggest disappointment is I would like to have heard from the young man so we could hear what happened. I think it's a disservice to not hear from him and hear what happened, because it could be a million different things. And I guess for me, I'm far less concerned about what happened this week than what happens next. How does he respond to it? How does he overcome it?
No, I totally agree. What, by the way, 31 flavors?
No, you know what? I worked at a soft serve ice cream shop called King Cone, and here's the saddest part. I started at $3 an hour.
Oh yeah.
Mm. I actually remember when minimum wage was like $2.85. So.
Well, it was $3.75, but I was 15, so he got away with paying me less.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well done. No, I agree with you on the lack of follow up on that, because it sort of sounded like it could have been being out of shape, but the way they treated it, especially Saturday, told me like they're being cautious, which to me isn't just like, well, he's really out of shape, let's be careful. Like, I mean, this could be like allergies, or like you said, it could be a number of different things. We could speculate all day, but
my allergies are horrific right now, and it got hot really fast, so I can understand how somebody got clobbered this week who's not from here. So I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's, I agree. It's just, I know, I guess we'll keep guessing till next week. What about Malik Willis, Corey? Obviously, high interest in every throw he would make, and he was going to be the focal point. He and Burks, I guess. But also, of course, I thought he handled the Tannehill situation well. What did you think of everything you saw from him?
Well, you know, I think unfortunately for him, that was probably the biggest part of the story, was how he handled it. And he handled it in absolutely the right way. And that was to be as positive and supportive as he possibly could be. Because that's being a good teammate. That's not being an overconfident, condescending rookie. You know, we haven't seen a lot of those, but they do exist in the world. You know, he handled it the right way. You know, we talk about, you know, the unfair pressure maybe on Treylon Burks. I think for Malik Willis, I think in the long run for him, the best thing that could have ever happened was being drafted in the third round instead of the first. Because could you imagine the pressure on this kid if he'd gone sixth overall to the Panthers?
Yeah.
I mean, he'd have to be the starter week one. That's the way people do it now. And, you know, is he ready or not? Most people think he's not. I mean, which is why he went in the third round. But, you know, he's on a team where they hope he doesn't play a down this year. Or if he does, it's because they're way out in front and they can get him some time. So it's really a good situation for him. And I think he handled it the right way. You know, I think what stands out to me is, you know, kind of he's kind of a different look. Because, you know, he's a thicker in stature kind of guy, and it's more than we're used to seeing at quarterbacks. Because you see so many tall, you know, leaner guys, but you know, And you look at Howell out of North Carolina and Kyler Murray and even Baker Mayfield, you know, these are all kind of shorter, stouter guys who are coming into the league. And I think we have to get used to it because at the younger levels, they're plugging their best athletes to play in at quarterback now, not running back. And so you're getting guys with more running back physiques playing quarterback, and that's what we're seeing, I think, from Malik Willis.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Corey, the schedule comes out. Obviously, we knew what the opponents were going to be for the Titans, but what do you make of the way that the schedule falls for the Titans as you look at it, starting off, of course, with the New York Giants?
Well, I mean, I think, number one, I love the way the first 2 weeks shape up for them because you get a terrible Giants team with Brian Daboll running it. And so you're really preparing for pretty much the same thing you're going to see in week two for Buffalo. So I think it gives you almost an extra week to prepare for the Bills while preparing for the Giants. So I think that that's helpful for the Titans. I think they need to get off to a quick start because when you look at that gauntlet of games, and I can't remember how it goes exactly, but I think it's like Bengals, Packers, Eagles. I mean, there's a run there through like November that is absolutely brutal, like 4 to 5 games.
Yep, Chiefs in there too on the road, yep.
Yeah, Chiefs is, yeah, that was the other one. So they need to give themselves a little bit of cushion before they get there because when I look at that and you see the emotion written into a lot of those games, and that's, you know, getting through the emotional hurdles of getting through one game and on to the next, and, you know, as much as the physical hurdles. And then the other thing is, you know, 2 Thursday night games, that's really weird. But, you know, it's a compliment. You know, it means the league says you're good and people want to watch you. And so, you know, and not just from that aspect of the 4 night games, don't they have like 3 o'clock games?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember the days when they played 15 noon games and a Thursday nighter against Jacksonville.
That's right.
That was the schedule every year. So the more convoluted the schedule is, and this is the most convoluted schedule I have ever seen the Titans have, the bigger the compliment it is from the league.
Detroit Lions, by the way, all noons plus the Thanksgiving.
Come on.
That's right. All noon Sundays and that, which is probably how it should be. So, Corey, last week we asked, so TD, Robbie, and I all had different. Right now you have to make your prediction. Starting offensive line. I was watching Nicholas Petitfrère, and I thought he moved well the other day, a couple days. I thought, you know, you can see the material there, the size, the feet, and all that. But right now, your starting offensive line for the Tennessee Titans against the New York Giants.
Well, look, this is an absurd question, but I understand it has to be asked.
That's right.
I can only go with the guys that I know, all right? So I'd have to put Raidens at right tackle and Aaron Brewer at left guard. All right, until we see more from the other people to know that they're better, that's the way that I would have to go.
That was yours, Rex, right?
That was mine. But yeah, I mean, like, I don't feel good about it, and I agree. I mean,
well, no, I mean, look, the opportunity's there. I mean, the guy from Seattle,
yep. DeMarco Jones,
and DeMarco Jones, and then, you know, you bring in Petitfrère. The opportunity is there. You know, if those guys have a strong camp and then a strong, you know, training camp and preseason, you know, to take jobs. But I don't expect Dylan Raidens to come in and not work hard and not be better than he was last year. I expect him to be better. And so, and I know Aaron Brewer can play. He's a little small, but I know he can play. And so setting him, you know, kind of as a baseline, I don't think is a terrible thing. You know, you'd like for him to get bigger, stronger, better. And then if you have somebody beat him out, even better. I mean, that's the whole goal of a team, right? To bring in guys who are better than the guys you got. Unfortunately, that's just reality. So until somebody beats those two guys out, they're my guys.
Corey, last thing for you here. Obviously, there's lots of discussion with Preds fans right now with John Hines and David Poyle.
Yep.
What do you make of those two and the jobs that they've done and their future as they head into this offseason? And what do you think of the trajectory of this team as a whole?
Well, you know, I had this conversation with Jared on Friday, and I've had it with a lot of people as well, just like everybody else has. And I see it differently than a lot of people. But let me first start by saying I understand the people who think, you know, you've gone this long, it's long enough, it's time to change. Okay, I get that point of view, and if that's what you think, then that's what you think. I push back on the notion that they haven't changed, that they don't have that they don't have a trajectory, and they don't have a plan. I push back on that completely. They've gotten younger, they've gotten bigger, they've bottomed out, and they're on their way back up. This was their first 82-game season for a lot of these guys, and they ran out of gas. I mean, you can clearly see Janot. You know, the end of the season came, the baby came, and he did not produce down the stretch. Philip Forsberg had one goal in the playoffs, and that's not enough for a guy who had 42 in the regular season, and you went without your goalie. So there were a lot of things that went against them. Some are their responsibility, and some are not. But, you know, John Hines has this team playing hard again. He has the penalty, the power play performing very well. They have a clear identity as to what they want to do. So I have to give John Hines higher marks than I think most people do, because to me, they were cratering hard when he took over. And that was like taking over a plane that was nose down to the ground, in my opinion. And he pulled it out. And again, their great crime is getting things together and making the playoffs and not picking higher. And, you know, that's what I always say David Poile's great crime is. He's never had the worst team in the league, so he's never been able to pick Crosby or McKinnon or Ovechkin or any of these guys. But he clearly has a plan, and he has taken chances. I mean, he dealt off Ellison Arvidsson last season. Those were core players who made a lot of money. He traded away P.K. Subban so that he could bring in Matt Duchene. He has made bold moves. So, and look, if you're saying he hasn't done enough, he hasn't done enough, then he hasn't done enough. But to me, it's always about the journey. And unless you can get in a Sidney Crosby or one of these guys who changes everything overnight, it's hard. It's hard to be good all the time. And, you know, that's what they've done. And I continue to say what I would want to do if I were the Preds ownership is what I would do every season. I would sit both of them down. I'd say, what's your plan to be better than eighth next year and get us to the next step? And if I liked it, I'd say, come on back. And if I didn't like it, I'd say we got to go in another direction. It's that simple.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us this morning.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have yourself a great week.
You as well. Corey Curtis, our guest, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, presented by Smokeville Smoke Shop. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and you can make every game feel like Game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Throughout the playoffs, all customers can place a no-sweat same-game parlay each week. You'll get up to $20 in free bets if you don't win. FanDuel has so many ways to play, and best of all, when you do win, you'll get paid faster than a fast break. I like the Miami Heat to take down the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Final. I think Bam Adebayo is going to have a huge series in this matchup. Give me Bam over on points, but you take it any way you want to take it. If you're new to FanDuel, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up with promo code ROB to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Once again, that promo code is Rob. And if you already have an account, no sweat, you're all set to bet. Either way, you'll get up to $20 in free bets if your same game parlay during the playoffs doesn't win. FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet of $20 per week. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Thanks to Corey Curtis for joining us in the last segment. William from Madison on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, can't believe it's been this long into the show And you have not mentioned the hero of the weekend, the guy that captured the raccoon at the Arkansas-Vanderbilt game. Did you see this, Rex Road?
No.
So this guy is walking around in the crowd and has a raccoon by the hand, just like holding it up as this raccoon is trying to fight him off in the middle of the crowd in the Arkansas-Vandy game. It was pretty incredible.
Wow, I missed that. We talked earlier about you saw water snake.
I did.
My buddy Mike Barber cut off the head of a copperhead, and then it continued to open and close its mouth 15 minutes after being severed from the body. And by the way, at the Oakland Coliseum, there are pictures. All you got to do is on Twitter, you can just search possum.
Yeah.
There's a possum that is getting into the press box through the ceiling at the Coliseum, and it's kind of freaky.
Speaks well of that place.
I was there. Let's see. When the Titans played there, what, 3 years? What year was that? That was Tannehill's first year of starter. That would have been 19, right? When Derrick Henry left the game with the hamstring and stuff. Yeah, that's a place I could actually. Although I wouldn't have guessed possum, but that's that's Jacksonville level of decrepit press box. And now there's all these pictures of possums that are freaking me out. So anyway,
they're scary.
A lot of stuff going on with the animals.
As Tim Corbin said, I believe on our show last year, that place is it's a different place up there in Arkansas.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, Sue Piggy.
Yes. You got grown men wearing pig masks on their face and all sorts of stuff going on.
Yeah.
The hogs. Call them. Call the hogs.
Got to check that out sometime. Yeah. By the way, Vanderbilt winning 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
So Tennessee, SEC champs, first time in 27 years.
Yeah.
And still, to me, the favorite to win it all. Vanderbilt, I think, is going to host now a regional, and they're interesting.
Bud and Scott on the text line have pointed out that guy got bit as he was releasing the raccoon.
Really?
He had to end up going getting a rabies shot.
God. I assume I can find
the video. Oh, you can find the raccoon for sure. Now, Dennis says, in the Arkansas raccoon video, watch for the guy in the white shirt fall over the seats. It was just a mess in the crowd up there.
That is a huge.
It's gigantic.
What are you doing, man?
First off,
he just got it held by the back of its neck. Oh, man.
Why would the guy touch him?
And he's yanking it around. Like, take it easy.
Well, eventually that raccoon had enough, apparently.
What in the world? Holy cow. That is freaky. I wouldn't get anywhere near that thing. Yeah, but
yeah, they look cute. They're not cute.
Oh, no.
And, oh, they don't look cute.
And good call on the guy in the white shirt just
tumbling over.
See, I had no idea.
Shout out to Vanderbilt for overcoming that distraction.
Yeah. Wow.
People just flailing around all over themselves in the crowd.
Overcame more than I realized.
That could be the victory that pushes them over the top. The series win that Vanderbilt really needed to get rolling. Overcome the hogs and the raccoon as well.
Yes, yes. Good call.
Nathan from Lawrenceburg on the text line says, fire Poyle and Hines, bring in Rex Rhode as GM and Stillman as head coach. Since he knows so much more than everyone else, when he fails, Rex Rhode will finally get the last laugh by firing him, making all of us happy. So you running the team as general manager, Stillman as the coach, and you get to fire him.
I mean, maybe I do like the idea of firing Stillman. Just kidding. Jared will be there. Oh, no, Jared won't be there. Wait, are they?
They're doing their show there.
They're doing their show there from Okay, so Jared will be there.
At the golf tournament.
In-person
the inaugural.
Ribbing. Yes.
Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament. Benefiting Folds of Honor.
Benefiting Folds
of
Honor.
By the way, we tweeted out a link that you can go donate to Folds of Honor as well.
Yes, a very worthy cause.
So, that Robbie is taking the show on his back and going to win the tournament in honor of Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yep, I believe in you, man.
Thanks.
So do I.
I would describe. Michelle and I will be sitting there.
Yes, yes, you will.
He'll be watching from afar.
Joe, you were at Titans rookie, is it minicamp? Is that what they're calling this? Titans rookie minicamp?
Rookie minicamp, yeah.
What were your takeaways from rookie minicamp over the weekend?
Well, the two people you're probably most interested in seeing, one of whom is going to be very important this year, one of whom won't, but it's obvious because it's quarterback and a receiver. I thought it was a confirming weekend for Malik Willis in terms of you see the ability, you see the very big arm, and he threw some seeds, no question about it. You see, he's not very tall. He's athletic, but that wasn't, I mean, there wasn't much. It's mostly, it's 7-on-7 or it's team. You know, it's mostly, obviously, you're focusing on staying in the pocket, mechanics, footwork, getting the ball out. There's a lot of checking down to the back, you know, just working on things. So it's not like you really got a chance. A couple times he broke from the pocket and ran, and he's a heck of an athlete. But also, I mean, I come away from that weekend thinking the exact same thing. Redshirt year, and we'll know a lot more, I think, once you get through the preseason and you see him in these preseason games. I think he's going to get I think it's Woodside and Willis, right? Woodside and Willis, basically, getting just about all the work in three preseason games.
Well, Titans fans, Tannehill probably needs to play for half, yeah. Get ready to every game.
Yeah, Ryan better get in there and earn his job. Let's see some motivation now that he's being pushed.
That's right.
Yeah. So we'll know a lot more. By the end of camp, you'll have a much better idea. They will. I think everybody will. Where it's going, although, again, either way, whether he could light it up and it's, you know, pump the brakes, and he could be terrible, and it doesn't mean that during this next season that he couldn't have a great year of learning and a lot of things come together. But he's a raw rookie who's not going to play this year, and you see the talent and you see the work that needs to be done. As far as Burks, I agree with Corey Curtis. You know, we're kind of left uncertain about exactly what happened. But I contend that the Titans being cautious about him, as what it appeared to be cautious with him with some of the reps Saturday, tells me that this maybe isn't like just not being in great shape. You know, again, you can have heat issues. The guy's from Arkansas. I mean, you'd think he'd be used to that, but it could be allergies. I think we can make a new guess every day until we talk to Treylon Burks and he tells us what happened, because he'd be the one who will tell us. Vrabel won't tell us, but he participated Saturday. It's not some huge deal. Like if it's just conditioning, he's not out of shape,
right?
I mean, there is just a different level of conditioning, football shape, all that stuff. I mean, it's not some big concern, but we won't know exactly what it is, I guess, until we talk to him, and I don't know when that'll be.
Well, I thought it was interesting, too, to see, you know, some guys a little maybe under the radar, maybe not in the case of Theo Jackson around here based on where he went to college, but Theo Jackson, by all accounts, pretty good weekend for the Titans at rookie minicamp, and Kyle Phillips as well. Two later picks in the draft by John Robinson that seemed to show themselves pretty well over the weekend.
Theo Jackson was good, and he got stepped in front of one play. I had a really good video on that, by the way, guys. You didn't mention that great video.
Just the sideways.
We were only concerned about one video this weekend that you recorded.
Yeah, we just focus on the negative. Yeah, but Theo Jackson, Vrabel made some, I still don't remember exactly what he said, but it was some kind of Rocky Top comment. Yeah. And on the next play, he jumped in and got a pick, and he was good. I think he looks the part. I think he has a chance to have a role on this team, make the team, give safety depth, and maybe take on that Cruikshank role. I thought Roger McCreary, by the way, we haven't talked about him, but I think he looked pretty good out there. He's not super tall or long, you know, good feet and speed. He seems very comfortable pressing. So, I mean, he's going to be, you know, an important factor here for this team. Petit Frere looks the part, moves well. I mean, everybody in that offensive line, that makeshift rookie minicamp offensive line, had some kind of like false start or something, especially on the first day. But he looked pretty good. Who else? Oh, we haven't talked about Hassan Haskins.
Yep.
Again, it's not padded. There's no tackling, but he looks like a guy who wouldn't be fun to tackle.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
He wasn't fun to tackle at Michigan, based on watching those games. So,
especially from Vrabel's alma mater.
Yeah, there is that.
They really didn't enjoy it.
Did you see Quentin Dorberty out there slinging that rock around too?
He was.
A lot of balls in the house this weekend.
Yeah, yeah. Like the former
VFL, baby.
VFL or CFL, Chippewa for life. Yes. Central Michigan. Yes. CFL too. Someone got mad at us on a text line like, the VFL program is a lot better than you guys talking about Poyle or something like that. What are you saying?
He's like, there's a lot of people that are less annoyed by that than you guys talking about Tannehill and Poyle every day. I was like, well, it's not true.
Yeah.
I promise you.
What's annoying about that?
Yeah. We talk about what the people want to talk about.
What's the...
You want to talk about underwater basket weaving? We'll talk about that. We'll do it.
We don't talk about that enough. We're the only show in town that'll talk about that, maybe. What's the approval rating for Tennessee fandom on VFL?
Higher than it should be. Way higher than it should be.
So it is pretty much embraced.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that many people actually... Other than like UT officially, like the ADs and coaches, they all say, oh, VFL, blah, 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 fill in the name. I don't hear fans say that, really. Do they?
Not a lot. I see it sometimes, though, on Twitter.
It's like student athlete.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, just former Vol or Vol's legend or whatever. We don't need to say VFL, do we?
Well, Butch Jones wore it in the ground. I think that's probably where my annoyance comes from. Like, all right, shut up, Butch.
Did he come up with it?
No, I don't think so.
It was Dooley.
I think it was Dooley.
Thanks a lot, Dooley.
We'll continue to take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into why the pressure of one particular Titans rookie is going to be interesting to monitor and could have a huge impact on their season this year. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game.
Did you get a chance to say anything to Traylon? Seemed like he had a tough day and wasn't able to be out there.
Yeah, it's all good. He good. That's my roommate, too, so I'm going to chop it up with him. No.
What do you like about his game and maybe how special it will be for you guys to kind of grow together, you know, starting this weekend?
I think it's really cool that we got our whole rookie class out here, and, you know, it's just us for a minute, so we can all get used to, you know, Titans football, and whether it be on offense or defense. And I just feel like it's really cool that we all get to spend this time together and grow as players. You know, we're in these meeting rooms together, we're all growing, we're all competing, but it's the first time for all of us, so I feel like that's really cool.
That was Malik Willis on the rookies coming into camp, on Traylon Burks as well. Interesting weekend over the weekend for the Titans at rookie minicamp. They'll be back in the building this week. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll have Darren McFarland coming up at 9 o'clock, get his thoughts on the Nashville Predators. Joe, I'm really interested in the Traylon Burks situation. Obviously, you know, we talked about him in the pre-draft process. We read the story that I can't remember who put it together. Was it Scarborough? Alex Scarborough?
I think that's ESPN, right. Yes.
Of him just, you know, hunting wild hogs in the wilderness out there in Arkansas.
He would have grabbed that raccoon
the other day
and just thrown him out of the stadium.
Yeah. Somebody on the text line, or Cody on the text line, points out people from Arkansas are just built different. So that could be Traylon Burks' his best attribute heading into this season. I think he's a really good player at Arkansas. I'm really excited to see what he looks like at the NFL level. I also recognize there's a ton of pressure on this kid, and there's pressure anyway from just, you know, the fact that you're a first-round pick. The Titans traded up to go get him. Now they traded A.J. Brown to go get him as well. But if you're John Robinson, I mean, let's take a look at your last two first-round picks. Isaiah Wilson, we know what happened there. And Caleb Farley was barely on the field last year before he got hurt. So there's pressure on a Titans first-round pick anyway this year to come in and be productive. And then you add the fact that you were just traded to replace A.J. Brown, and it magnifies it. What do you make of this situation for Traylon Burks and the pressure that, as Corey pointed out earlier this hour, fair or unfair, there's going to be pressure on him to produce and to produce early this year for the Titans?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the first things that came to mind that draft night is, man, this is a lot on Traylon Burks. I thought he was a possible draftee for the Titans with A.J. Brown in the fold, which would have been perfect, and now instead it's this. And that's why, look, I don't think this, the having to leave and all this stuff that happened at the minicamp is a big deal. Other than, you know, anything that's not like, wow, he's on or ahead of schedule is going to be probably reacted to more just because of the situation he's in. So it's, once OTAs and then the actual full mini camp are going and then on into camp, I think his progress will probably be because the thing is, you know, Malik Willis, it's like, oh, what might he be? What could he be? He gets a year. I mean, really, that's what he's going to get a season to figure it out. Traylon Burks has got to be right away. Again, you could make the case that Treylon Burks, depending on Robert Woods, who, by the way, put out a video this weekend and appears to be doing well, but certainly you can make the case that, you know, Treylon Burks has got to be ready to start in week one and produce right away in week one. I mean, if he's not ready, hey, you got maybe you don't have Woods. I guess you have Westbrook Akina and, you know, you got other guys. Yeah. I mean, Des Fitzpatrick could, you know, obviously you got to hope, just like you hope for Dylan Raidens and Caleb Farley to have a big, big year one to year two jump. You hope the same thing for Fitzpatrick, but you're going off into an area of just a lot of unproven players, and he's one of them, but he's going to be the most watched player between now and the start of the season. And that was always going to be the case as soon as that move was made.
Well, and he's got, you know, obviously the ability that he brings to the table. There's a reason the Titans drafted him where they did. I mean, it's a lot of the same strengths that A.J. Brown had. He's really good after the catch. He can get open. He's a big, physical guy. Now, there are concerns about, you know, how well does he run. I mean, we talked about the time at the 40 time at the combine. It wasn't great. I watched the guy play, and, you know, he's outrunning defensive backs from Alabama. So I guess I'm not as concerned about that as some people are, but there is – it's going to be interesting to see. Like, you know, some players come into the league, and it takes them a while to figure it out. And if that happens with Treylon Burks, you look around the receiving room for the Titans and you're just like, well, I don't know where the production's coming from if he doesn't figure it out immediately. So there's a ton of pressure on him. Like, even A.J. Brown. Like, there wasn't pressure on A.J. Brown to come in and be really good immediately. Now, he was pretty good immediately, but there was no pressure on him to be really in the same ballpark as the pressure that's on Treylon Burks right now coming in immediately.
No,
I don't
No, not close to this. You know, he's a second-round pick, so there's still second-round
sure.
pick. And there was an opening. There was certainly a need for another receiver. I mean, at that point, Corey Davis was going into year three. Is that right? 19?
So. Yeah.
Yes. So, Corey Davis going into year three. Certainly, you know, in 18, they were cobbling together. You know, they had Cam Batson out there, and they had different guys. I mean, they really had to dig deep during that season at times. You know, especially Corey Davis on and off was hurt. There was pressure and a need. But the thing with A.J. Brown is he was able to come in and immediately be like, oh, wow, look at this guy.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't – I mean, I'd have to go back to, like, rookie minicamp of 2019, but it was pretty quick when you realize, okay, yeah, this is this guy's translating to the NFL. And then, of course, you saw it. But again, even with that, I mean, if you take out that opening day catch and run at Cleveland, I mean, A.J. Brown didn't do a ton for the first early stage of the season. I mean, he wasn't like getting the bulk of the snaps until a few games into that season, which is how it should be for a rookie, ideally. And then eventually it's like, okay, you can't get him off the field. I mean, he's that good. But with Treylon Burks, there's no luxury along those lines. And if he's wowing people, then it's like, okay, well, that just confirms what they did. You know, he better wow people.
Chris on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I just hope the Titans revamp their preseason training to avoid non-contact injuries and not repeat last year. Hopefully we don't chase the record for most rostered players again. This coming from Chris on the text line. I mean, that part's interesting with Burks because, I mean, he's going to, I would assume, start for you this year. Like, he's going to be an important player right off the jump, but he also needs reps. Like, I'm interested to see how Vrabel handles that in the preseason. Of he's a rookie, he's coming in, you want to see what he has, and you also know that he's probably going to be a pretty important player for your offense this year too. So what's the balance like of getting him quote-unquote game experience at the NFL level in the preseason and also making sure that you're not overdoing it if you're Vrabel?
Yeah, and as far as your point there, Chris, I mean, I can't sit here and tell you that I know exactly what the Titans are doing from a training perspective, but again, that industry is unlike the coaching side where everybody's trying to keep their little secrets. I mean, it's largely a lot of the same stuff at every place, and they share information because it's just about trying to keep people healthy. I have my doubts that there's some kind of like issue with the medical staff that caused these things. I think they had a lot of bad luck, and I'm sure they've tried to overturn every rock in trying to prevent them and the most cutting edge things you can figure out. But I don't think last year was like some indictment of the training or medical staff.
Vrabel got asked about that last year.
He did. And he was just like, yeah, I mean, like, we have trainers. Like, yeah sucks to get hurt. And like, I'm paraphrasing him, but it's like, yeah.
Well, he basically said, you know, I never got hurt in the NFL and thought to myself, man, those trainers, yeah, I tell you.
Dang trainers. They're making me, like, not stretch before we go out there. Yeah. What are they doing?
Ben on the text line says, it's possible Nick Westbrook-Ikhina could be the leading receiver in yards this year and still make the playoffs. I wouldn't bet on it, though. This is coming from Ben on the text line. If Nick Westbrook-Ikhina leads the team in receiving, probably not good for the Titans.
I wouldn't pick that team to make the playoffs if that's the case.
And we know what big fans we are.
Well,
NWI,
that's right.
Show,
wait, didn't Michelle say you saw NWI this weekend?
Yeah, I was having dinner in Germantown with my mom, and I see a Tesla drive by, and I'm like, "Hey, that's NWI." So then I texted you guys.
A sweet ride, huh?
Hey, man.
Okay. Yes. We're the only show in town that's going to tell you what NWI drives.
Shout out, buddy.
And it's not because of me stalking him. Thank you.
Sure. NWI, yeah. Friend of the show, listening right now, saying, my God, what is going on
with
these
people?
Can we get
that guy's press credential revoked, please?
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Darren McFarland coming up at 9 o'clock. All that ahead, you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game. Nashville's own Big Machine Distillery wants to send you to the inaugural Tennessee Whiskey Trail Experience to celebrate International Tennessee Whiskey Day coming up on May 21st at Nissan Stadium. Text WHISKEY to 615-737-1025. That's WHISKEY to 615-737-1025 to enter for your chance to win a pair of tickets. WHISKEY to 615-737-1025. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll have Darren McFarland coming up at 9 o'clock. Get his thoughts on the Preds, as it could be an interesting week with the Preds, potentially. John Hines and David Poyle speaking later this week, so we'll see what happens on that front. Right now, taking your thoughts on Treylon Burks on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Cody texting in says, so what are realistic expectations for Treylon Burks? Because this isn't an offense where he'll go for 1,400 yards like Chase or Jefferson. I don't know that anybody's expecting him to do that.
No.
But, I mean, if you're John Robinson, do you not want something close to what A.J. Brown gave you last year? I mean, you drafted him in the first round. You just traded A.J. Brown away. You know, A.J. Brown's first season, he had 1,000 yards. I'm looking for at least 1,000 yards out of Treylon Burks this year. And I'm not going to nail down like it's got to be 1,250 or anything like that, but I think 1,000 yards in a 17-game NFL schedule, if he can stay healthy, I need to see 1,000 yards out of Treylon Burks this year.
Yeah, look, if you get 800 and the team's good and Robert Woods has a huge year and you'll the tight ends have a bigger role in the offense and Derrick Henry is Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill's efficient, the offensive line's better than I think they look on paper, and your defense is as good as you think it is, and you go like 12-5 again, then, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to be screaming that Treylon Burks didn't have a 1,000-yard season.
No.
So, you know, I think it ties to that. Like, is he able to play every week and contribute? Do you see improvement? Because you do have to. I mean, you got to be kind of realistic early in a season of a rookie season. Like, there's going to be mistakes, and this isn't – playing receiver in the NFL is very complex. It really is. And it's not, you know, again, there's a lot of these college offenses. There's a lot of carryover, but there's not carryover when it comes to the simplistic offenses that some players are in, where it's like one read stuff and it's a quarterback read half the field or look to the sideline before every snap and all these, you know, like there's a lot more that you have to do pre-snap on the field in the NFL. And it's just not realistic to expect someone to just come right in and light it up. Some people do. More do now than used to. But I just think I would agree with you, I guess. I guess 1,000 yards would be, if he has that, then that's good. again, A.J. Brown's great best season is 1,075 yards. He's not at, had 1,100 yards. But, I mean, it's, you know, are you – but what A.J. Brown did, of course, is A.J. Brown had big games, big moments in, you know, in huge pressure situations. A.J. Brown made huge plays to win big games. You know, that's – you know, can Treylon Burks do that on third and nine? You're down 4 points late in the game. Is he out there? Are you looking for him? Is he making plays? I mean, that to me is more important than whatever the final statistical outcome is.
David on the text line says, Burks just needs to make an impact. To what degree, it's hard to say, but first-year impact has to happen this year, coming from David on the text line. I mean, yeah, oh, first-round pick.
No doubt.
Impact for sure. Like I think significant impact. When you trade A.J. Brown, you better have a significant impact if you trade Burks. And that goes – it goes back to what we're talking about. Like, there is probably, to some degree, some unrealistic and unfair expectations on Treylon Burks heading into the season. But when you're replacing A.J. Brown, that's what it is. And, you know, it's not his fault, but that's just what it is heading into this year in this offense. If he's not good, then first off, it's hard to see the Titans being all that good. And secondly, people are going to get – I mean, people are going to hammer him for not being good. They're going to hammer John Robinson for sure if – A.J. Brown goes off to Philly and just lights it up with Jalen Hurts and company over there.
Yep. Heidi says he better have 55 catches, 850, and 6 touchdowns, and only 7 drops. Heidi is specific on the drop number.
Can't have the 61% drop rate that was thrown out there with A.J. Brown.
By the way, real quick on the going back on Chris, he said, remember they did fire all the strength coaches. Well, no, they didn't fire all the strength coaches. I know at least one strength coach. I thought it was just one.
Yeah. It was one.
It was an assistant strength coach, correct?
Yeah.
One assistant strength coach is, okay, let's see. Yeah, because it was, well, you had Hazlitt, and you had assistant special teams coach Matt Edwards. You had Udazi, the assistant D-line coach. Mondre G was assistant strength. So one assistant strength coach. Let go. I would not. I think you're taking a bit of a leap if you think that move, along with these other various moves at different positions, means you guys are to blame for their for all their soft tissue injuries. I think that's an incredible leap, actually.
I got a texture that says, we saw this with Bud Dupree last year coming off the ACL. He was out there and effective, but not 100% most of the season. Better towards the end. Do you think we should expect the same from Robert Woods? It's going to take him most of the year, if not the whole year, to get to 100% rolling. This is coming from an unnamed texter.
I mean, it is a little bit different with smaller guys,
yeah,
right? Smaller, like fast skill guys, usually it's a little bit faster. And let's remember, you know, Bud Dupree's job is you think about the leverage and the lean while going up against 6'7", 310-pound dudes versus, you know, running in open field. I mean, so I think there's a better chance that Robert Woods is more himself earlier than Bud Dupree was last year, but we'll see.
Well, and Robert Woods, as if memory serves me correctly, is about a month ahead on the timeline too. Like, I think Bud Dupree he tore his ACL in early December.
Woods was in November.
And Woods was in November. Yep. So, you know, I don't know what that means. Like, people heal differently. David Bakhtiari tore his ACL, you know, towards the end of the season in 2020. And he didn't play at all last year for the Packers except for like 20 snaps in the game against Detroit. Then he couldn't play in the playoff game. Like, people heal differently when it comes to the ACL. It should help that he is smaller and not as big and not having to bend as much as a guy like Bud Dupree does.
Yeah, it was November. Yeah, it was November 13th. So it's about a month different. So yeah. I mean, look, it's important. It's important that he's ready to go. Griffin says, "Can Phillips be a cup type of weapon for us?" So
pump the brakes a little bit.
Yeah. So Cooper Kupp was arguably the best receiver in the NFL. He's an outside receiver. He's a big, powerful, super fast guy. He's an elite receiver. Kyle Phillips is a late round slot receiver. I mean, they're both white? Like, I mean, what's the comparison?
Kupp had 145 catches and almost 2,000 yards last year.
I mean, Kyle Phillips
is. If Kyle Phillips get on the field for the Titans.
Right. Can Kyle Phillips earn a roster spot? This is the question. And now, again,
he looked, by all accounts, looked good over the weekend.
He did. He's got quick feet. I did. Adam Humphries came to mind a little bit, and that would be, again, so what does that mean? You know, like, what's Adam Humphries' career per reception? 9 point something, right? That's, I mean, it's, but it's that, you know, think, go back to the AFC title game. I think they had 2 fourth downs that were converted to Humphries because off the line, he's really tough to deal with in man.
Yep.
And you get it to him fast, and you can move the chains. I mean, that's why they drafted Kyle Phillips. He's never going to be anything like Cooper Kupp.
I don't think.
I mean, like, they're not.
I mean, Kupp could do a little bit of that too, but yeah, he's not going to be anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, Kupp's like a 6'2", 200-pound dude.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
he's 6'2", 208.
And he's really fast. I mean, Kyle Phillips did not run great, which is part of why Kyle Phillips dropped to where he did. But again, quick feet. Can you get open? Can you catch it? I think he's got a chance to be a part of this offense. And I think it would be good for them to have a true, quote-unquote, true slot receiver.
I agree. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Darren McFarland. We'll get his thoughts on the Nashville Predators as they head into a very interesting part of their offseason, including the Philip Forsberg negotiations. All that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game.